The Lord gave you your kids. And thank God that He's their father. He knew who their dad needed to be. And no matter what they go through, you know, He's there for them. They're maybe going through some trouble right now on the side of the road and stuff. But you know what? God gave them a dad who cares and concerns them, you know, and stuff. And that's just a wonderful thing. I got up this morning. I could barely see. Walking around, all of a sudden, I see Autumn and Luke get up, and they just tear down the hall. I said, well, something's going on. Arm goes, Dad, sit on the couch. You know, here goes my Father's Day card. So she's so excited. It's Daddy's Day. And I mean, what a wonderful thing to have that. It was wonderful. I thank God for my family. I thank God for what He's doing in my family. And it's wonderful that God, the things that God does. I got to drink a lot of water. Another thing I'm excited about is seeing you guys sitting in them pews. My family really enjoys your kids. My wife, she's happy. She's got a friend. I'm just thankful they're here to share some time with us, you know? And so she said last week, I finally got a friend. She understands, you know? It's good, though. I mean, so anyway, God is good. We went to that thing with McVeigh over the weekend there at Shingle House. Really, I just thought it was a really good time. Me, Joshua, and Luke, we spent some time over there. Tim preached. Really, it was just, he was being obedient to what the Lord had to say. And not many people might not have agreed with it, but it had to be said. I know it helped me and Luke. It also helped Joshua Spencer. He got something out of it, which is wonderful. I'm just telling you, out of all the kids, and I'm going to say this as nicely as I can. Out of all the kids that enter in our church, Joshua Spencer knows his Bible.
I like it. Good.
I'm just telling you. And so he got really convicted. Gave his mom some ideas to help him give up the video games, not as much, because he really, you know, he wants to get into study. I said, tomorrow you won't feel that way, Josh, but I'll talk to your mom. Maybe she can help you feel that way. You know, we'll get those things out of there. Let him study, because he comes down to my room. He blows my mind sometimes with some of the stuff he says. You know, the verses, you ask him to memorize some verses at 12 years old, he just, bang, gets it right out there. It's like, man. But, he's got a Father in heaven that's teaching him. And we don't know what is going to happen with Josh, but I'll tell you this right now. Maybe Josh's biological dad isn't sitting here. But there's some men that are in this church that can be, you know, what you can be to, you can be an example to him.
Right.
Ladies, you can be example to the little girls that we have in this church. Because you know why? In America, this is a lost art of this going on anymore. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to have that responsibility. I'm guilty of it. I can sit here and tell you today that I was guilty of that very thing, but I thank God for a God of forgiveness who has forgiven me for that garbage. But you know, not only did He forgive me, but I have two that I can do it with. And that's not like I'm not about other children's life. I am, as much as I can be, with the miles that are between us, I am in their life. They know I'm here. My phone's never off. I never shut it off. It doesn't ever go on vibrate and all that. My phone always goes off. But we need somebody who's going to be willing to stand up. I'm going to teach Luke more than what I can just say out of my mouth. Brother McVeigh said it perfectly. He said, we look at our children and he goes, we try to make them differently than what we were. He said, that's not what we have to do. He said, we have to teach our children how to be more like Christ. Teach them to be more like they're not. They have to understand what they are. Sure, I don't want Luke to turn out like me. But what's he going to turn out? My kid watches everything I do. When I compromise, they pick up on that. When I put God on the back burner, they pick up on that. They know that when I'm carnal, boy, that they attack. They know that we're carnal. They know that when something's not right, we're not living right. They know that. How are we going to handle it? What are we going to do? How are we going to do this thing? And I'm just telling you now, people think that grandchildren and children and aunts and grandmas and all that, let me tell you something, them little ones are watching. And they're watching and seeing what you're doing. But anyway, I'm going to go out of Deuteronomy 6. This is a basic thing out of the Bible. It's so basic that nobody does it. Half the churches in America have left this thing behind. The people who claim to be Christians leave it behind. It's so basic that nobody does it anymore. It's a rarity. And I'm not saying that nobody does it, but there's very few that do it anymore. And I believe it's very important to keep the family together. Deuteronomy. There's people I know today who've chose to turn their back on the Lord. And their life is it's crumbling as we speak. Crumbling. Anyway, Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, we're going to start in. It says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and they shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." You see, diligently we are to teach our children. That verse came to me the other day because you know what? I became slack in teaching my children. I became slack in praying with them. But if it wasn't for the diligence of this Bible being preached, my heart could have never seen what it needed to see. And you know what? When I leave this church house, that responsibility falls on the dad.
Right.
That responsibility falls on the dad. That responsibility falls on the husband to lead and guide and direct his home and his household in the way that they're supposed to be. You see, men, he knows, well, I'm going to say, I'm not going to say the name, but they said they don't want that responsibility. They refuse to take responsibility for that leadership in their family.
Right.
We can see.
Yeah.
We can see the destruction that's going on in that family. We can see what's going on because people, men, they're not even men. The males in America are going ahead and they're forfeiting that God has laid out in order. You know why God laid it out in order such as he did? Because he knew this was going to be the way it was going to have needed to work. This is the only way. We can't figure it out on our own. I'll tell you this right now, our marriage was collapsing pretty darn quick, wouldn't you say? Until the Lord came in and started straightening out our marriage. Really, marriages, people in my and her condition, they rarely make it these days. Mm-hmm. I had to talk to the pastor and said, "Why me and Amy? Why are we making it?" You know why? Number one, Jesus Christ. Let me just tell you that right now. Number two, follow what this Bible says on how you should raise your family. On how I should treat her, and her treat me, and how our children should be done. I'm going to tell you right now, that you want victory in your marriage, you want victory over your children, you do what this Bible says, you will have that. It's a promise. You know who promises that? God does.
Amen.
God does. I'm telling you, as a man, I can't stand here and tell you how to be a father. I couldn't tell you how to be a husband. I couldn't tell you how to be a friend or a brother. Ask my mother, I couldn't even tell you how to be a good son because I wasn't a good son. It's so basic that nobody wants to do it anymore.
Yeah.
Everybody's worried about everything else. Let me just tell you, you know where the mission field starts? In your own home. You have missions in your own home. You have those that are children or whoever's in your house that are lost and dying and going to hell. And you need to get in this Bible. You need to show them and teach them the law and the ways of the Lord. And I'm going to get into that. But you know what? What it says here, I got to put my glasses on here for a second. It says that thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart. These things got to be put in the man's heart. You, men, got to have this in your heart in order to give them to your family. They need to be in your heart. You need to be living them. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if you say you put them in your heart and you're not living them, your kids are going to yank that rug way out from underneath you.
Yeah.
So is your wife. They'll try you on that every time they can.
Mm-hmm.
These got to be in your heart. This is a serious matter.
Yeah.
Look at the families in America today. They don't have this. You know, I'm going to tell you this, in the Baptist churches, the more I get around, the more I see, the more I realize they've walked away from this.
Yeah.
And I don't mean no offense to any ladies, but really, they're the ones wearing the pants in the house. And it's not going to ever work that way. And if you got a problem with me saying that, then you go ahead and take it over with God, because he's the one who put that order, not me. I'm just telling you. Now, are you my slave? Let me see, do I beat you or do I, let me see, do I treat you any lower than me? No, I do not. You go in the book and it says, you know, the son's going to turn against mother, mother against daughter and all that stuff. But it never says husband's going to turn against wife.
That's right.
Read it in the book of Matthew. Why? Because we're one flesh. We're on the same page. We're supposed to be doing this thing together. You're mine. This is we're one flesh. Now you become part of me. I got to take care of you just like me. So you know what? We got to go in this thing together. I got to have myself right in order to run my house right. You know, another thing that you know people forget about this whole thing of being a bishop is having your house in order. Having your house in order.
Right.
That's really left out. Oh, we had the one marriage thing and then the this and that. Well, you left out patience. What about having your house in order?
Come on.
You can't have your house in order. How are you going to have the house of God in order?
Right.
I'm not the one who says it. That's what the Bible says.
Man.
That's what the Bible says, not Dale Morey. Please don't think, if you think that I'm making it up, I'll bring you to the verses and show you where it says it. I can't speak nothing of myself because you know what I know? I know nothing in the flesh. I know nothing about being carnal. And let me tell you something now, for the past few weeks, that's exactly where I've been. I've done things and answered people and said stuff that I should have never said. Pastor gave me good advice. He said, you're an old man trying to act like the new man. That just made so much sense to me. You know, how do I tell the difference? Right here.
That's right.
This is going to tell me what the new man is going to do and the old man is going to do. How do we get it right? Amy, come on, let's go pray. Come on, Luke and Autumn, let's get this thing right. Let's get the Bible back in the house. That's how. Why? Because, let me see. It says, in these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. I just had a talk with Pastor Haynes. When you're sitting in your house, is the TV and the games on more than the Bible?
Well,
that's what your family's going to look like.
Right.
What you're putting into your family is going to be what you get out of it. People say, well, you dress awfully nice now. I said, you know what? It has nothing to do with the outside. I said, the outside is just a reflection of what's going on the inside. That's my house. You know what? That's the reflection of what's going on in my house.
Amen.
I'll show you that in a little bit where it says that the wife is the glory of the husband and the children are the glory of the father. What you see is because we're at home studying the Bible. We're at home praying together. We come to service. We don't skip out and all this and that. But I'm going to tell you right now, when you do that kind of stuff, you're showing your children that you're willing to compromise. They know that. 10 and 7 years old, they already know if I start compromising or if their mom starts compromising that they got it. They're going to start running. They're going to take that thing down where it should have never been. People get lazy in this thing. They forget about it. They don't understand. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, this is important to God or He wouldn't have put it in here for us. He gave us instructions on how to raise a family. Instructions on how to be men. Instructions on how to be a dad. Nakedness. God forbid if nakedness ever comes in my house. My son doesn't see his mother and his sister. My son doesn't see his sister and vice versa. My daughter doesn't even see her own mother naked.
Amen.
Or me. They don't see me naked either. No way. No way. I'm not having it. Not in my house. I did a study on that nakedness stuff and let me just tell you right now, it's going to lead your household right down to the pits.
Yes.
I'm just telling you what that nakedness does, man. It's vile. Fornication. Pornography. You see a little bit of flesh, you want to see more.
That's right.
More. More. Especially the little boys. You think they ain't already interested in seeing that baloney? They are. Bet me. My children are allowed a half hour a day on a video game. No Wi-Fi hookup. They play in the living room where I can keep an eye on them. 1 half hour a day. TV. Oh, yes, I watch TV. Ooh. My TV does not come on in my household, number one, until after dinner, Bible, and prayer, if we even turn it on then. Number two, when commercials come on, we turn them off. We turn the TV off. Because of the violence that's going on in the commercials. We can't even see it. Okay? I'm going to keep this in check. Why? Because that's what the Lord put me in order for. To keep my children's eyes pure, to keep my house pure. I gotta watch over this thing. Can I get too far? Of course we can get too far. You know who's got to be responsible for getting that back right? Right here. I got to be vigilant. Diligent. That's not vigilant over my family and watching over them. That's part of what God put me in there to protect my family. Protect them. We got to do everything we can to protect them. He says, teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in the house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. We don't have that perfect, but I tell you, we really try to keep this in our house like that. It's the best way. My children are never going to see what they need to see from God if we're not doing that. Church has to be more than just here. Has to be in a vehicle. Has to be at home. They have to be taught that thing. My children in public school, not by choice, by circumstance. It's just how it is with our family, okay? Not a big deal. But you know what? My children see more now, and they understand why we teach them the way they teach them, because they go out there and they live in the real world. They go out there and they see this stuff, and they come home and ask us, you know what? We can take our Bible and we can teach them why the people are doing that and why we do it the way we do it. Now it's your choice what you're going to do with it. They can see that. Now, I'm not against homeschooling. Please don't enter. I'm not against homeschooling at all. I'm just saying. I see that my children already at 10 and 7 are seeing what they're going to be living in. And now I have the opportunity. It's my responsibility to teach my children different than they're learning in that school. Different. That's just how it is. Why? It's my job. God gave that to me. Train a child up in the way, Proverbs 22:6, that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. With a train, then. They have to be trained, because right now they're off course. They're heading for absolute and total destruction. They have to be trained the other way, in a different way. I'll tell you now, when Sam asked with what the day one in boot camp, he had no clue what to do as a soldier. He had to be trained. Now, he knows what it's like to be a soldier. And that same concept was with our children. They don't know how to look for God. They don't know how to search for Him. They don't know how to live for God. But they need to be trained up in the way. Why? So when they get old, we don't know how old. Didn't say how old. What if on their deathbed they finally do get saved? Just what if? What if we didn't train them? Anybody want to play Russian roulette with your children's life? I know I don't. I don't want to play Russian roulette with my children's souls. No way. I'm going to train them up in the way. They're going to know the difference between God's way and my way. They're going to know that. They're going to know the difference between their flesh, their sin, and what God has to offer. And then the choice is up to them. If my children choose never to serve Jesus Christ or ever get saved, that's their choice. He made the choice for them. He went on the cross. He died for the forgiveness of their sin. He rose for the justification. Now the choice is up to them. Will they obey? Will they see what God wants to do for them? Or will they obey on their flesh and die and go to hell? My sin's it. I can tell you this right now. If you think that my children can't go to hell because of me, has nothing to do with me. They have their own sin nature.
That's right.
They got to be forgiven just as well as I was. They got to be forgiven just as well as their mother was. Me being a preacher or a dad to them doesn't save them. It sanctifies them. They have a little better chance than more other people might. But I'm not promised eternity with them too. But I tell you what, brother, you can sure destroy that real quick by not living the way you're supposed to.
That's right.
Just telling you. You got to take it home. I know some of you older folks, your children are already grown up and out of the house, but you know what? They're still looking to you. They're still looking for some guidance and some direction. They're still looking for some prayers. You're still mommy and daddy. There's things that I still go to my mom and ask her, what do you think about this? Or, hey, mom, what about that? You believe that? There's things that I still need my mom for. She's my mom.
Amen.
She is. That's how it is. Ephesians 6:4. Like I said, this is basic. You all might know it, but most of us ain't living it. So, you know why? Because it's so basic. We think that we already have it down. We're perfect. We got it straight. We don't need any more instruction. I think we need instruction on a daily basis. Daily basis. If you don't think you need instruction in parenting every day on a daily basis, then please come and teach me, because I know I need it on a daily basis on how to raise my kids, how to have wisdom, make decisions according to what needs to go on in my family. I have to have that on a daily basis. Ephesians 6:4 says, "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Admonition. I can never say that word. But it means to be give gentle reproof, counseling against the fault, instructions and duties. This is what Deuteronomy 6 was just talking about. To instruct them in the way. To teach them how to love the Lord with all their heart. To teach them to do what God says. We're to instruct them in that. And does it say what? Does it say do it angrily? All you're going to do what I said, I'm going to beat your head to death. All you little twerp, you're not listening to the Bible. No, it says not in wrath. Don't do that in wrath. He says, nurture, love them. Show them, teach them. How nice is it that sometimes when we behave, God can just gently teach us something to show us rather than him having to come down and correct us because we just won't listen. I know my children will listen better. I know they're more afraid of me when I approach them and they need to get a spanking. Yes, I spank my children on their behind. When I walk up to them and I'm angry, the look on their face breaks my heart. But when I walk up to them and I'm calm, cool, and I got total control of myself, oh, it's a whole different ballgame. They just know, oh man, they know. But you know what? But they also know. You can take my kids in a room and you can grill them 100 times. It doesn't bother me a bit. I don't care what they tell you in my household. They know I do it because I love them and want the right thing for them.
Yeah.
That's the only reason. Not for my own personal pleasures. I don't know. People get that confused. Taking you want your kids won't be your little slaves, so you want to beat them. No. I'm talking in correction. It says to raise them up in the admonition of the Lord. They're nurturing that. They're showing that thing. Not because you're not listening to be my little slave. Not because you're my little toy that I can beat around and call names and kick around. No, that's not what it said. It said not wrath. But so many people take that anger and that wrath and they put it on them kids and call that correction. I wonder why so many Americans look down on people spanking children. Because it's gotten out of control. God forbid if I ever go and hit my children out of anger and I hurt one of them. I deserve jail. I deserve whatever they're going to give me.
Amen.
If you're hot and you can't, I mean, your head is all blown up, then go sit somewhere for a little bit. You're an adult. They are not. They weren't born for you to beat them. It says we can train them with fear or we can train them in the fear of the Bible. James 1:20 says, "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." We are not to train our children in wrath. My anger is not to be used to teach them fear, to fear me because I'm mad at them. How dare I go and teach my children in anger? How can I put the wrath of God on my children? That's not what he said. Let me read that again. It says that James 1:20, "For the wrath of man worketh not righteousness of God." It's not working the righteousness of God when you're angry like that at your children. I don't want my children to be afraid of me in the sense that they're afraid that I'm going to come and abuse them or beat them or call them a name or kick them around. God forbid if my children ever got that way. They should have a reverence towards me because they know I'm coming to them to correct them out of love because they done did something wrong. That's what they should know. My children ain't abused. Look at them. They look abused to you. They're not abused. They're not abused. You know what they are? They're loved. They're cared for. They're taken care of. They're getting exactly what the Bible says. I know it's a basic message and you've heard it 1,000 times, but you know what? People need to hear this and put it to work.
Man.
How many pews are in churches this morning where this very message could reach somebody and could get to them and help them out and nobody wants to even take heed to it? But I'm telling you now, it's just as important now as it was when God put it in his Bible. But so many people have turned away from that thing. I'm just telling you how I learned how to be a father. Happy Father's Day, Dad. That's what I got this morning, some love and kisses.
Amen.
And I spank my children. I scold them. I correct them. Not always perfect. I have weaknesses. I have flaws. I'm a human being. I'm in the flesh. I can't ever be perfect. I'm going to let you down. I'm going to hurt you. I'm going to say and do things that I should have never done. As you can see, there's a pew empty today because somebody thought that I acted crazy the other night. Be angry and sin not. I didn't sin. I got angry over something. I acted carnal. Not horribly. Most of you will be like, that's anger. But to God, that meant something to him. And now I'm going to reap that. Now I'm going to have to deal with that. Now the pew is empty where that person normally sits, and that breaks my heart. It may not bother anybody else, but it bothers me. Because I did something offensive. Now I got to go make that thing right. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. I just want you to know that's just a few verses down from where it says that for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So if the Bible is going to teach you how to train your children, it says don't be just hearers, but doers. There's reasons why God gave these instructions to us. Not just because they sound good or, boy, there's power with that. But let me just tell you something. If there's power with something and God touches your heart with something, then when you walk out them doors, put it to use. How many times I sat in these pews, and I mean, just the Lord was all over me for something. Could you imagine if I just went home and blew them off? I would not be who I am today.
Amen.
And I'm not bragging. I'm just saying the Lord saved me. He's changing things in my life. But the only way those changes come is when God deals with me, I see it, agree with Him, and then go out there and work that thing. Most people walk out that door, that's it. They're done working. God's not done working in your life. Have ears to hear at home. Have ears to hear when you're in a shopping center or at a family's house. Have ears to hear what God is telling you. Because I'm going to tell you right now, He's going to speak to you more than just hear. If the only change I ever got came from church, then what kind of person would I be today? We have to have our... And it's not going to be some big, loud, thunderous thing. It's going to be that still, small voice telling you, you know better.
Amen.
You know that little voice that's always saying, you know better. That you keep blowing off and ignoring, you know better. That's the one. Yeah. That's the one that's going to work with you outside of the church.
Right.
I know it's basic, but I'm just telling you, these words are written for us. Instructions in righteousness. How to be what we're called to be. We can never be what God wants us to be if we're not listening to His Bible. And let me just tell you this now. My wife, my kids, my mom, pastor, all knows that I'm one who fails in it quite often. The thing is, I get down, ask God to forgive me, get back up and fight on.
Amen.
I don't want to be that way once God shows me what I don't want to stay there anymore. I want to get out of that thing. Get me out. Throw me that rope, Lord. I need it. You got to get me out of this thing. I don't want to stay there. I thank God that He shows me these. Thank God for who He is. So when the Bible says do it, it says do it the way He tells us to, or otherwise you deceive yourself. If you don't trust the Bible or believe what it says, if you did, you would do what it says. I'm just telling you now, when you have a belief in something, you'll do what it says. Well, put these arm floaties on and it'll keep your child floating above the water, so you do exactly what it says. Or do this at work, and your boss will be happy. You'll make that person happy. But the Bible tells you to do something, you'll just blow it off. Mm-hmm. Maybe you don't believe it, or you just don't care about it.
Oh.
I'm just telling you. Jesus Christ, Psalm 119:89, I think. It says that His words are established in heaven forever. If Jesus Christ is the Word, and this is what He's given us, why wouldn't it be important? Do you think He just gave us this? Listen, Bible is not, Jesus is, you know how He's talking to people today? Right here. This is how we're going to know. Oh, is this that other Jesus? Is this that other spirit? Is this that other gospel? Well, how would you know that? Right here. I know a lot of people think I'm crazy when I say that I love the Bible and I get my instructions from there and I stand fully on it. I know a lot of people think we're crazy when we say we do that. But I'm going to tell you right now, that's where I get mine from. That's where I get my instruction. That's where I want it from. Because I tell you now, worldly wisdom is garbage to me. Not all. Let me rephrase that. Some men of God, you guys got some wisdom. You give me. And my brothers, when they have wisdom, they have that. But I'm just going to tell you, if it doesn't line up with the Bible, you got to be cautious.
Right.
Too many people are listening to men and not the Bible.
Right.
Too many people are following the other spirit, the other Jesus, and the other gospel. That's what they're following. Why? Because they don't read their Bible to learn. They don't understand what they're getting into. Paul, a couple times, Paul said he'd done things in ignorance. That's what most people do. This is a basic message about fathering, being a parent to something, to our children. And you know what? In ignorance, people want to just blow it off. It means something to God. I'm going to tell you now, you know what Jesus said? Unless you have faith like one of these little ones. The kingdom of God. You better off that you tie a millstone around your neck if you offend one of these little ones.
Right.
If they didn't mean nothing to Jesus Christ, why would he say such things?
Come on.
These little ones mean a lot to him. My children are my gift. They're a gift from God. He didn't give me these gifts to abuse them, kick them around, treat them like rag dolls and slaves. He gave them to me to raise them, to love them, to teach them, to correct them. He gave them so they could have a life. I don't know what holds for Luke and Arnold. I don't know what their future holds. But I want to, as a dad, as a father, who's saved, I want to give them the best chance possible. Right here.
Yeah.
Man.
I want to give them the best chance possible in this wicked world. I know it's hard to have kids these days, because you don't want to turn them loose out in this garbage. But you better get serious with training your children. You know why? Because one day they're going to be without you. One day they're going to walk out of your household. One day they're not going to be in your life. One day they're going to be out in that world. How are they going to be able to handle it? Are they going to be able to handle it the way God told you to train them? Are they going to be able to handle that situation? Hey, I got to learn too. Part of the reason I got mad last week was over Luke. And I handled it foolishly. I'm not always going to be there to protect him. He's going to have to learn how to deal with stuff on his own. And my foolishness got in the way of that. You understand? How am I going to teach them to react like that? No. I got to teach them different. I teach them a different way to start thinking. For his own good, for his safety, for his family. One day he may grow up and have a wife. How's he going to do it? He's going to train his children in life. Is he going to look back and go, gosh, you know my dad, he was such a jerk. Or is he going to look back and go, I think, man, Dad, that situation came up last week. And you know what? Because of what you taught me, man, that really helped me out, man. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking forward to. My daughter called me up saying, Dad, I'm glad I just didn't fall in love with any Joshua. I'm glad you protected me from these idiots out here. I'm glad you told me to wait because God would bring me a husband. I'm glad you showed me how to be a woman and keep that faith pure until I get married. Thank you so much, Dad, for what you've done. That's what I want to hear.
Man.
That's what I want to hear in this crazy, crooked world. I'm going to close with this. Colossians 3:21, fathers provoke not your children not to, children to anger, excuse me. Fathers provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Anger is going to discourage your kids from anything you're trying to teach them. I understand we may get angry and mess up once in a while, but a constant, continual anger when you're trying to train your children is going to discourage them from anything that has to do with this word, anything that has to do with Jesus Christ, anything that has to do with the church. If you do not believe me, listen to the stories of the people around here that something happened in this church 35, 40 years ago and will not step foot in it because of it.
Right.
I'm just telling you now, and that person heard it 35, 40 years ago. These little ones, they're living in that. And I'm going to finish right here. Ready? Here we go. Training a child in the fear and anger will only discourage them in the ways of a Christian life. It will not encourage them in the ways of Proverbs 22:6 or Deuteronomy 6:5. I'm done, Pastor.